working God. All the miracles I see, you're too good to not believe. You're the wonder working God. You heal because you love. All the miracles we'll see, you're too good to not believe. You're the wonder working God.
Everybody drop out.
You're the wonder working God. All the miracles I've seen, too good to not believe. You're the wonder-working God. You heal because you love. Miracles we'll see. You're too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. After everything I've seen, you're too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. After everything I've seen, you're too good to not believe.
I've seen cancer disappear. I've seen mental plagues dissolve. Yes, I know that he can do. Yes, I know that he can do. I've seen real life resurrection. I've seen mental health restored. Yes, I know that he can do. Yes, I know that he can be. Come on. I've seen families reunited. I've seen prodigals return. Yes, I know that he can do. I know that he can do it. I've seen troubled souls delivered. I've seen that it's finally free. Yes, I know that he can do it. Yes, I know that
we'll
he
see
can
cities.
Do it.
We'll see cities and revival. Salvation flood astray.
Yes, I know that he can do it. Yes, I know that he can do it.
Glory fill the nation
like the world has never seen. Yes, I know that he can do it.
All right, chorus.
I know that he can do it.
Yes,
I believe you're the wonder working.
check on. Check. Check. Hey. Hey. Check. Check on.
Thank you. Good morning, Ascend Church. Did anyone come with a praise on their heart? That's what I'm talking about. Come on and stand to your feet and worship the God of your salvation. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the end of a thing is better than the beginning of a thing. And because we serve him, he can turn even our graves into gardens. Hallelujah. I search the world. It couldn't feel me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied in your love. Hey, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. This I know is true. Afraid, show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. The God of the mountain is the God of the valley. Your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Turn praise into garden. You're the only one who can.
Now somebody give a shout out of praise. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we worship you in this place. We honor you, God.
Impossible is nothing for you, God.
Yes.
God of miracles, signs and wonders. We honor you in this place, God. We honor you,
Lord. Blind to see his moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me.
The one who made the deaf to hear is silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The one who does impossible. Reaching out to make me whole, reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in his place, his life is flowing through my veins. His life is flowing through my veins. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Yeah. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
Yes, you are.
I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Oh, I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
I know now that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Power up. believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
Come on, somebody lift up a praise in this place. Come on and declare that you believe. Hallelujah. We know that we know. Our God can do all things. He is a healer and a deliverer. Come on, somebody, and praise his holy name. God, we give you honor. We thank you, God. God of miracles. Hallelujah.
We honor you, Lord God. This is a house of worship. This is a place of praise, where every demon trembles, where we proclaim your name. This is a house of healing. Our hearts are full of faith. You have our full attention. You have the final say.
Come on, let's come alive.
Come alive. In the name of Jesus, come alive.
In the name of Jesus,
this is a house of miracles. We bring everything, everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
Come on.
There's resurrection power. Your blood runs through our veins. Your kingdom triumphs over even the coldest grave. We sing, come alive. In the name of Jesus, come alive. In the name of Jesus, this is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus, this is a house of miracles. One more time, we sing, come alive. In the name of Jesus, come alive. In the name of Jesus, this is a house of miracles. Do you believe we bring everything to the feet of Jesus? Everything in the name of Jesus, this is a house of miracles.
Good.
I fix my eyes on heaven.
your vision. God, I believe you're working all things for good.
Come alive.
Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring, yeah, everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Hey, hey, hey. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Signs and wonders, hey, everything in the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Hey, we believe all things are possible for you. Yeah.
I still believe you'll speak. God, I believe your word.
Yes, God.
That you thought would end.
We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
Or that impossible medical report, we're gonna say,
come alive in the name
healing,
of Jesus.
Yes.
Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
Hallelujah. Somebody give him a shout of praise in this place. Begin to declare, yeah, worship and praise. Hallelujah. God, we agree with heaven right now, yeah, in the name of, yeah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You're too good to not believe. Too good. a man with my own hand. Just at the mention of your name can raise the dead.
So all the glory to the only one who can. Jesus is you. Jesus is you.
Wonder-working God, you're the wonder-working God. All the miracles I've seen, you're too good to not believe. The wonder-working God, and you heal because you love. All the miracles we'll see, you're too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. After everything I've seen, too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. After everything I've seen, too good to not believe.
Too good to not.
Situation in an instant. When I had my daughter, the doctor told me I needed to have an emergency cesarean or she would die. But if I had it, I would die on the table. He walks out of the room and I wipe my eyes. I hear a voice so loud in my spirit say, whose report will you believe? I declare through fear everything, I will believe the report of the Lord. I went home that day. Everything changed in an instant. My God is a healer. They declared my father was going to pass. He had a 90% mortality rate after a bad accident. Slipped into a coma. We laid hands and declared victory. We declared healing over him. Yeah. Let me tell you something. My daddy can walk, he can talk, he can run, he can preach, he can sing. Hallelujah, because my God is good. My God is holy. Hey, let's declare. I've seen cancer. I've seen cancer disappear. I've seen metal plates fall.
Yes, I know that he can do it. Yes, I know that he can do it. I've seen
real life resurrection. I've seen mental health restored.
Yes, I know that he can do it. Yes, I know that he can do it.
And I've seen families reunited. I see prodigal return.
Yes, I know that he can do it. Yes, I know that he can do it.
And I see troubled souls delivered. I see addicts finally pray.
Yes, I know that he can do it. Yes, I know that he can do it.
We'll see cities in revival. Salvation flood the streets. I know that he can do it. Come on.
I know that he can do it.
We'll see glory fill the nation like the world has never seen.
Yes, I know that he can do it. Yes, I know that he can.
Say, I believe you're a wonder-working God.
You're the wonder-working God.
Come on, church, sing it out.
All the miracles I've seen,
you're too good to not believe.
You're the wonder-working God. You heal because you love. All the miracles we'll see, you're too good to not believe.
Somebody bless the Lord in this place.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. It's just a, there's an atmosphere of faith that rises. When you begin to sing about the things that God has done, you begin to think. You know, when Monique was giving that testimony, it reminded me of when the children of Israel crossed through the waters, when God parted the waters and they got through. You know what happened on the other side is Miriam picked up her tambourine and she began to dance before the Lord. And she began to sing about the things that God had done. And she said, God has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. And then she went on and just spoke about the goodness and the wonders that our God can do. And that's what we're doing this morning. We're just thanking God for the things that he's done. But we're thanking him that he is still more than able to do whatever it is that we need doing, even if it requires a miracle. Amen. Praise God. That's some good worship. Some good worship this morning. Well, let's give them a round of applause. That's more than applause. That's a round of thank you for leading us in worship this morning. But we're so glad to see you in church. Welcome to Ascend Church. There's an anticipation what God can do. Turn and greet someone. Tell them how glad you are to see them. You may be seated. Wonderful. Well, good morning. Good morning. You all look good this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord, right? Welcome. I want to welcome those that are watching online. So glad that you've joined us today. If you're one of our regular church members, we miss you. We love you. We hope to see you again soon. Those of you that are watching, let us know where you're watching from if you're on Facebook. And follow along with us in the service. I believe you'll be blessed today. Amen. Amen. Have you had a good week? Good. I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear it. Carol and Leo have birthdays. It's so funny that you have birthdays on the same day. I like it. Bless you. Sorry if I don't know your birthday, but I know their birthday. So good to be in church. I love this series that we're in, teaching on signs and wonders, and I have a real anticipation in my heart of the things that God will do. And I love it because I went this week and we were talking about different miracles that we've seen as Pastor Steve was preparing the message, and I went back and pulled out some of my notebooks from years ago, and I'd tried to every now and then write down things that I remembered, and I just was blown away. I just like the way that God moves, the healings and the miracles and the words of knowledge and the things that he does. He's a supernatural God. So never, don't take anything off the table. Expect God to move in supernatural ways today. Amen. Praise God. Well, I just want to welcome anyone who's visiting us for the first time. We love having visitors in our church, don't we? And so if you're here for the first time, we don't embarrass you in any way, but we'd like to just hand you a visitor pack where you're sitting. So would you mind just waving your hand if you're here for the first time? God bless you. Come on, let's make them welcome. God bless you. God bless you. So glad. Why do visitors always sit on this side? Seems to be. We'll just hand you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. Thank you for being here today. There's a card that says guest, I think it says, or connect, and you can, if you just fill out your name, let us know, just put your name, a number for us, and Pastor Steve would love to get in touch with you and find out how you enjoyed the service. If you can, just stick around after service and say hi to us. We're so glad to have you here today. A couple of things in that bag that we hope will be a blessing to you. Amen. And as we get ready to go into the rest of our service, I just want to remind you that we're going to pass a clipboard by during the service. We do that just to keep updated, keep our records updated, just help pastorally, let us know that you're here in case we miss your face, and we just want to know that you were here. Sometimes people are not in church, and then you give them a call and you say, we missed you. And they said, oh, I've been in hospital for the last 3 days. And so it's an important thing pastorally. So thank you for filling that out for us. And like I said, we have an online church audience. And we're so glad you're participating. It's an extension of our service. So wherever you're watching from, if you're watching on YouTube, Ascend Church, if you're watching on Facebook Live, if you're watching on our website, which it's easy to do, it's ascendchurch.us, and if you're watching on our mobile app, we're so glad to have you join us. I believe there's no distance in prayer. I believe whatever it is that you need from the Lord today, you can receive it. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I remind you of the four main purposes of our church. The first one is that you would know God. The second one is that you would find freedom. We have so many testimonies of people. We sang there about addicts getting free. We've got testimony after testimony of people's lives completely set free. And not just that, anxiety, fears. God can set us free in every area of our life. We want you to discover your purpose in life and to make a difference with your life. I want to make a difference. The older I get, the more I realize I want to make a difference with my life. Amen? Praise God. Well, now's the time in the service where we are going to receive the offering. And I always like to read a scripture before we do. It is an honor for us to give to God. It's a part of our worship. If you read through the Bible and you see when they came to the house of God, they came with worship and they came with an offering. It's a scriptural practice. It was something that they did. Offering is a part of our worship. Amen. And you know, Pastor Steve's going to continue teaching today on the God of signs and wonders and miracles. And I am reminded that throughout the Bible, many miracles were preceded by acts of giving. Many miracles. And I'm talking about financial miracles, provision, but I'm also talking about healings. I know people in this church that have given an offering, believing God for a child to come back in line, and have seen that happen. There's many times in the Bible, giving preceded a miracle. And I'll give you a couple of examples. One was Elijah and the widow woman in 1 Kings 17. When Elijah, God directed him to this woman. It was famine in the land. And he said to her, "What do you have?" And she said, "Just a little flour and a little oil, and I'm going to make one cake for my son and myself. We're going to eat it, and then we're going to die." And he said, "Make me a cake first." That was God's direction. God said to her, "Give something from what you have." And do you know what that produced? That produced a miracle. It produced a miracle of multiplication, of provision. The Bible says that the flour and the oil did not run out until the famine ended. That means her life was saved because of giving. And so don't tell me giving doesn't matter. Giving matters, and it matters because we are doing something as an act of faith to believe God. Amen? Think about that little boy when Jesus, the disciples are saying, "Look at these crowds." How many of you watched The Chosen? You watch The Chosen, you see those crowds coming in. If you watched the last one of the last season, it was just phenomenal, and you see those crowds just gathering, and they couldn't get enough of Jesus speaking. And the disciples are like, "Lord, they've been out here 2 days. You're going to send them away. They're hungry. They're weak. They're tired." And Jesus said, "Let you feed them." He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "What have you got?" And one little boy gets up and he has his lunch. And he says, "I'll give my lunch." Do you know that turned into a miracle that fed 5,000 men as well? They didn't even count the women and children back in those days. So 5,000 men, that tells you there's like three times that a number of people. But there were 12 baskets left over. That was an offering that that little boy gave. He said, "I won't eat this, I'm going to give this." And that produced a miracle. Amen. And so lastly, I want to mention, because I was reading it this week, I get to reading these things and then I can't. I'm like, I want to keep on with the story, keep on. And so I was reading about King Solomon, because I had read all about David, and Solomon was his son. And there was an extravagant offering that Solomon gave. And I want to just read it. It's in 1 Kings 3, verse 4. It says, "The king, Solomon, went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices for what was the most important high place. For that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar." You have to just think of the logistics of offering 1,000 burnt offerings. That's a lot of animals. That's a lot of blood. That's a lot of work, right? But he offered this to the Lord. In verse 5, it says, "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, 'Ask for whatever you want me to give you.'" Can you believe that? God, this giving of Solomon's, where he said, "Nothing is too much for me. Nothing is too much for me to give to the Lord." And the result was that God appeared to him and said, "Ask me anything you want, I'll give it to you." Isn't that an incredible reaction to it? And verse 9, it says, Solomon says, "So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you've not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings." Let me tell you, significant giving gets God's attention. And you know, God has no problem with prospering you. You know, the Bible says prosperity destroys a fool, but it says God has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So as you give today, I want you to give with a heart of faith. If there's something you believe in God for in your life, in your finances, in your family, whatever it is, in your body, as you give your offering, give it in faith and say, Father, I'm believing for a miracle today. Amen. Thank you to our faithful tithers and givers, to those watching online. Really simple to give. There's various ways to give that will come up on the screen. As I look at the screen, it'll come up on the screen. There's a red envelope in the seat right where you are. If you'd like to give, we thank you for that. And Pastor Steve, why don't you come and pray over the givers, tithers and the givers. And we're ready for that.
Praise the Lord. Morning, everybody. Let's pray. We trust in God. The Bible says that when you bring the Lord's tithe into the storehouse, that's what this is, the storehouse where we receive spiritual food and we are fed and ministered to. The Bible says when you do that, that God opens up the windows of heaven and he pours such blessing that you don't have room enough to receive it. I'm trusting God to bless you. If you're a tither, you're a giver, I'm believing God to double your income. I'm believing God to triple your income. I'm believing God to quadruple your income. I'm praying that you'll be able to tithe 4 times as much as you're tithing right now when your income multiplies. Do you receive that? Father, I thank you for every giver, every tither in this church. I thank you for their faithfulness, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you are faithful to fulfill every promise you ever made. And Lord, I thank you that you open the windows of heaven above them. I thank you that you pour such blessing that they don't even have room enough to receive it. I thank you that you rebuke the devourer on their behalf. I just thank you, Father, for increase, that you're a God of increase. Thank you for bringing increase to every tither, to every giver, supernatural financial breakthroughs and miracles, Lord, above and beyond what they could even ask or think. And we give you the praise. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. If you believe it, shout out amen. Shout out, I'm a tither. I'm a giver. The winners of heaven are open up above me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Before we get into the Word of God this morning, a couple of things I want to quickly mention to you. I want to ask Terry and Noreen, would you mind just coming up here real quick? I just want you to tell us about prayer meeting. Just stand over here for a sec for me. And Abel, where you at, Abel? I want you to be ready, okay? So I just want to encourage you. On Thursday nights, we have our night of prayer and praise. And about, was it last year that you came to me and started that? When did you start that, Abel? Beginning of 21, right? So, okay, the year before. Beginning of 21, Abel came to me and he said, you know, I'd like to start up a night of prayer and worship. And so I said, go right ahead. And he started up, we used to do it every other week. And now we've decided to do it every week. And I just want to encourage you, man, if you've never been to our Thursday night prayer meeting, you really don't know what you're missing. Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. I'll just keep going anyway. It doesn't matter. But now, I want Noreen and Terry to come up here. I don't know if we have a second microphone. Do we have a second microphone? Noreen and Terry are new to our church. You okay? Did you do something to your hand? You hurt yourself? All right. Well, I'm trusting God to heal that completely. This is Terry and Noreen, and they were invited to our church by Shanta and William, and we're so glad you invited them, because from the first moment I met them, I just felt a real connection and bond in the spirit. You know, sometimes you meet people, and I don't know if, and do you ever feel that when you meet someone, you just feel like a real bond in the spirit? And that's what I felt with them, and they're strong believers, and anyway, you came to church on Sunday, and then that Thursday you came to prayer, right? So I just want you to real quick tell us what you experienced, what you told me. I want you to tell them about prayer.
Okay, well, since it's in my heart, I guess it's easy. Good morning, church. We live in Green Acres. So that's a good little way. And our friends, we were looking, we said we're going to go to another church, and I said, oh, Shanta. And she says, oh, I didn't know it was in Jupiter when I asked her, though. I said, she said, our church at Sten. I looked them up online, said, Terry, because we're people that said we could go and be with our sisters and brothers in Christ. And so it was easy for us to come. You all made it easier because we felt at home. But then, of course, we were trying to figure out, is this where God wants us? And you were teaching about that. So we're people of prayer. So we heard that it was Thursday night prayer. And we came not knowing anything. But I didn't know y'all just started that. It felt like it was always. And that was the thing that we realized we needed to be here. Because to have a church that believes in prayer and a pastor that's full of the word. I'm telling you, we came and with his wife, we didn't know. You know what I mean? You go to church, it's like, you know, if you ever been around, it's like, okay, where do we go? But we knew that if it was something with prayer. And I tell you, on Thursdays, you cannot, we don't know what's going to happen, but we know it's going to be good. And we have grown spiritually. We've only been here 4 weeks, maybe. And if nothing else, I've moved my schedule around on Thursday. I normally pick up my granddaughter. We do it on Tuesdays. Because even God is just talking to his people.
Praise.
And he'll give us something, and so what that we have to come from Green Acres. Now we're just putting the pellets in the metal. But Terry does not have his driver's license today. He left out, and he's like, I don't have my wallet. So because we're just so excited about coming to church. And it was like, but it's been
praise the Lord.
The church, if we get together and just
We have a great time there on Thursday, don't we?
Yes, we do.
There's a real presence of the Lord.
And it's different every time. And I think that's how God is. God wants us to, we can't figure out God. He's God. But we come because we know that the miracles are here.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Terry. Thank you.
I just want to say the reason why you should come to Thursday, because the Bible says when you're in agreement, like on the day of Pentecost, it was 120 of them. And they was in agreement.
That's right.
So on Thursday, we come in agreement over this house.
Yes.
We got a leadership that believe in prayer and believe in a prayer agreement. We learned about 7 different prayers that the pastors taught us. So you need to be a part of that because when you're in agreement, things move.
That's right. Praise God, Terry. Thank you so much. We're so glad you're here. We really are. And is Mike here? There's Mike. Wave at me, Mike. There's Mike. He was coming to our church. He moved to Chicago. He moved back. He was going through some things in his life. And I encouraged him. I said, come to pray. How was Thursday night? He was like, man, what did you say? You were like, man, I feel so much better. I feel so much different, right? You came to pray. I want to encourage you, man. Tell your neighbor, you need to come to pray. I want to hear you. Tell your neighbor, you need to come to pray. Tell him. Thank you, Tom. Amen. So praise the Lord. Also, I wanted to do these things before I get into the preaching, because when I start preaching, I'm going to pray for people, and I don't know what's going to happen after that. So I'm doing all these things up front, okay? I want to remind you all that we are just 2 weeks away from the greatest event in the history of the world, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Easter is in 2 weeks' time. And when you came in today, you were given some of these invite cards. We are having Good Friday service on Friday, April 7th at 7 p.m. It's going to be a one-hour service, and we're going to have childcare. I'm going to preach a different sermon on Friday to what I do on Sunday, because Friday I'm going to focus on Jesus, the price he paid, the death and burial of Jesus, shedding his blood. Then Sunday I'm going to focus on his resurrection. So it'll be 2 different sermons, Easter Sunday, Good Friday. Invite somebody to come to Easter. Nicole told me she's got 23 people coming. I pray they all come. They've committed to come. 23. Think you can beat that? Can beat 23? Who thinks they can beat, we can bring more than 23 people? Who can bring more than 23 people? Come on, Dolores, you can do it. You can do it. Praise the Lord. Then also I want to mention that at our Easter service on Sunday, we are going to have water baptism. What better time to have water baptism than on Easter Sunday. Gosh, that's a great time to get baptized, Easter Sunday. So if you have not yet been baptized, now I'm not talking about you were baptized when you were a baby. There's nowhere in the Bible where they ever baptized babies. It's completely unscriptural. There's no point in baptizing a baby at all. The scripture says that you got to repent and then be baptized. And babies can't repent. Babies haven't done anything wrong. So baptism is something that you choose to do. After you receive Jesus into your life, then you follow him and get baptized. And really, it's about burying your past, putting the past behind you. And let me tell you, God's going to touch you at your water baptism. It is an awesome time when you get baptized. So if you have not been baptized, join us on Easter Sunday. You need to fill out one of these baptism cards so we can be prepared for you. And the ushers have got one. If you need to get baptized, hold your hand up now, take a baptism card, fill it out, and join us on Sunday. And everybody said amen. We need one for JJ. Who else? Back there, Bruce needs one. Then, I'm trying to follow my thing here. What, that's number one, number two, number three, number four. All right, the Christian Growth Seminar. I want to start a Christian Growth Seminar. It's a four-night Bible study class that I teach that, to me, is completely life-changing. I can't tell you how many testimonies I have had from people who've said to me, Pastor Steve, I've been a Christian for 10 years. I've been a Christian for 15 years. I learned more on the four nights of the Christian Growth Seminar than I learned my entire Christian life. If one person told me that, 100 people told me that. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't yet done the Christian Growth Seminar, I'm waiting till we have enough people. As soon as we have enough people, I'll announce the date. But if you haven't done it, please fill out this Grow card. Fill out this card, it's called Grow, and register for the Christian Growth Seminar. It's free. Just fill that out. Number five, connect groups. We are going to start up connect groups after Easter. We have connect groups in Stuart. We have connect groups in Jupiter. We have connect groups in West Palm Beach. And I really encourage you to be part of a connect group. This is a place where we meet in small groups, in people's homes. We have a great time of fellowship. We discuss and talk about the things of God. We talk about the sermon on Sunday. We pray for one another. We encourage one another. It's a place where you really make, let me tell you, lifelong friends. Lifelong friends in Connect Group. So if you would like to be, or you're interested, if you say, Pastor Steve, I'm interested, I'd like to be part of a Connect Group. I'd like to meet some believers that live near me, that are in this church. All you need to do is fill out this white card that says Connect. Fill out the Connect card, and we will have the Connect Group leader contact you. They'll give you their address, and you get to meet them. So make sure that you fill that out. We're starting up after Easter. Our Connect Groups will be starting up again. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you. Got all that done. Put that on the table for me. Thank you. Are you ready for God's Word today? Well, let's pray one more time. Father, we thank you that you are the God of miracles, signs, and wonders. Lord, thank you that you confirm your word that is preached with miracles and signs and wonders. And I thank you, Lord, for confirming your word as I preach it today. I thank you for doing miracles in people's lives. I thank you for miracles of healing. I thank you for financial miracles. I thank you for miracles of freedom. I thank you, Father, for signs and wonders, Lord. I thank you, Father, that there is nothing too hard for you. I thank you, Lord, it is a simple thing for you. There's nothing too hard for you. All things are possible to you, Lord. And we look to you, Father. We take the limits off, and we believe that you can meet every need in our life in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to carry on today speaking about the God of miracles, signs, and wonders. We started this last week, and I ran out of time, and I thought, well, I'm just going to carry on. And then as I was preparing, then the Lord gave me a whole lot of new stuff to add to it. So today, you know, we saw last week in Daniel 4, verse 3, it says, how great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. And in Psalm 77, it says, you are the God of miracles and wonders. You still demonstrate your awesome power. I'm so glad that God is still the God of miracles and signs and wonders. Aren't you? We must never forget our God is a supernatural God. He is the God who still does signs and wonders. All through the Bible, we see it. The Bible is filled with accounts of the miracles and the signs and the wonders that our God has done. In Jeremiah 32, it says, you perform miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, things still remembered to this day. And you have continued to do great miracles in Israel and all around the world. You have made your name famous to this day. Amen. God has done epic signs and wonders and miracles, like the 10 plagues on Egypt or parting the Red Sea. And I was reading in Psalm 78, and the psalmist is reflecting on the things that God has done. And I think there's a good lesson here for us. It says in verse 4, we will continue to tell our children and not hide from the rising generation the great marvels of our God, his miracles and his power that have brought us this far. They didn't really believe the promises of God. They refused to trust him and move forward in faith. They forgot his wonderful works and the miracles of the past. Even their exodus from Egypt, the epic miracle of his might. That was an epic miracle. It says they forgot the glories of his power at the place of passing over. God split the sea wide open, and the waters stood at attention on either side as the people passed on through. It goes on, it says, by day the moving glory cloud led them forward, and all through the night the fire cloud stood as a sentry of light. He split open the mighty rock, and the waters flowed like a river before their very eyes. He gave them all they wanted to drink from the living springs. Their heavenly winds of miracle power blew in their favor, and food rained down upon them. Succulent quail quieted their hunger as they ate all that they wanted. Even when they saw God's marvels, they refused to believe God. They refused to believe that God could care for them. Again and again, they limited God, preventing him from blessing them. Do you know that you can limit God in your life? Do you know that you can actually prevent God from blessing you? That's what they did. Continually, they turned back from him, and they provoked the Holy One of Israel. They disregarded all the epic signs and marvels they saw when they escaped from Egypt's bondage. Now, let's learn from the mistakes that the children of Israel made. Let us never forget that our God is a God of miracles and signs and wonders. He did epic miracles. But you know, he did many kinds of miracles. In the Bible, you see God did big miracles, and sometimes he did small miracles, if there's such a thing as a small miracle. But I'm saying like the parting the Red Sea, that's an epic miracle. But then we see where the prophet Elisha, his students asked him if they could build a bigger place for them all to live. And they asked him to go with them down to the Jordan River. And they were going to cut down trees to get some logs so that they could build. But as one of the students was cutting down a tree, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and he said, oh no, it was borrowed. He had borrowed the axe from somebody. And look what happened in 2 Kings 6 verse 6. Where did it fall? The man of God asked. When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick, threw it into the water at that spot. Then the axe head floated to the surface. That's a miracle, isn't it? You ever seen any floating axes around, lady? Now, it may not be an epic miracle, but it was a miracle. God, do you know why God did that? So that man would not be in debt. It was a supernatural debt cancellation. The Old Testament is filled with signs, wonders, miracles. Then we see when Jesus came to the earth, Jesus did signs and wonders and miracles. The Bible says in Acts 2:22, it says God publicly endorsed Jesus by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. God the Father endorsed Jesus by doing signs and wonders and miracles. Abel was just telling me this morning as we were praying upstairs, he was reading in the Bible where John the Baptist was arrested, and he sent his disciples to Jesus to ask him, are you the coming one? Or do we look for someone else? And you know what Jesus said? Go tell John, the blind see, the lame walk. Go tell him all the miracles. You see, that's what separates Christianity from every other religion out there. Our God is a God of signs and wonders and miracles. You can talk to Muslim people, ask them, what miracle have you ever seen? Ask a Muslim, what's the greatest miracle you ever seen? They ain't ever seen a miracle because Muhammad ain't doing any miracles. He's still dead in the grave. But Jesus is alive. And that's what makes Christianity so different. Our God is a God of signs, wonders, and miracles. It was the signs and miracles that drew people to Jesus. The Bible says in John 6, verse 2, a huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. The Passion Bible says they were attracted by his miracles and the healings that they watched him perform. And let me tell you, Jesus hasn't changed. He is still the miracle worker. He's still the God of signs and wonders, and he still wants to do the same things for people today. Hebrews 13, 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything that he did when he walked the earth, he's still doing today. But do you know he's doing those signs and wonders through you and me? He's using us, his church, to do signs and wonders and miracles. John 14, verse 12, Jesus said, the person who follows me in faith, believing in me, let me see if you believe in him. Wave your hand. If you're following Jesus, if you believe in him, wave your hand. Say, this is talking about me. It's talking about me. It says, the person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. I will do whatever you ask to me to do when you ask it in my name. We have power in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, I'll do whatever you ask me to do when you use my name. We can do the same miracles Jesus did, because Jesus went back to the Father and he sent the Holy Spirit to empower us, just like the Holy Spirit empowered him. Jesus did miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:38, you know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, how he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed for the devil. That's okay, I didn't give it to them. Acts 1 verse 8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Say, I have received power because I have received the Holy Spirit. Jesus' final words before he went back to the Father. In Mark 16, he said, go into all the world and preach the good news, the gospel to everyone, and these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak with new tongues. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. And when the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven. He sat down at the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples, it says, they went everywhere and they preached. And the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. You see, we just have to preach the gospel, and God confirms what you preach with miraculous signs and wonders. That's how it works. The church in the book of Acts, they had signs and wonders and miracles. In Acts 5:12, the apostles performed many signs, wonders, and miracles among the people. Did God only do signs, wonders, and miracles through the apostles? No, we saw last week that Stephen was a deacon. He wasn't an apostle, and yet he performed many signs and wonders and miracles, the Bible says, among the people. You see, the devil has convinced people that miracles don't happen anymore. He has sold the lie that it was only for the original 12 apostles. No miracles, signs, and wonders are for they are for today. They are to confirm the word of God that we preach. God's word is the same. Acts 14 verse 3 says, Paul and Barnabas stayed there for a long time, preaching boldly and fearlessly about the Lord. For he backed up his message of grace with miracles, signs, and wonders performed by the apostles. See, if you want to see God do miracles, signs, and wonders, you got to preach boldly. You got to be bold to preach the word of God. Paul, the apostle, said this about miracles, signs, and wonders in Romans 15, verse 19. He said they were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. In this way, I have fully presented the good news of Christ. You see, if we are not telling people about that God is a God of miracles, signs, and wonders, we're not fully preaching the gospel. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, he said, my speech, my preaching, were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's what I pray. I do not want to just be an eloquent speaker. I've got no interest in that. I do not want to just get up here and give you a good pep talk. I am not a life coach. See, a lot of pastors are life coaches. No, I'm a pastor. I preach the word of God, and I expect God to confirm his word with miracles and signs and wonders. I want to preach in demonstration of the Spirit and power. I thank you, Lord, that you confirm your word, even as I'm speaking today, with miracles and signs and wonders. We need to preach with a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. This next generation needs to see God's miracle-working power with signs and wonders. David said in Psalm 71, from my childhood, you've been my teacher. And I'm still telling everyone about your miracle wonders. God, now that I'm old and gray, don't walk away. Give me grace to demonstrate to the next generation all your mighty miracles and show them your magnificent power. I want to talk to you today. How do you receive a miracle in your life? How do you receive miracles? A couple of keys from the scripture. You know, Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about all the miracles that these were done in the Old Testament, all the mighty things they did by the power of faith. Let me tell you, the first key is faith is what makes miracles happen. Faith makes miracles happen. In Galatians 3 verse 5, the Bible says, it says, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do so by the works of the law? Or by hearing with faith. That's the key to miracles. Hearing God's word with faith. The Passion Bible says, what does the lavish supply of the Holy Spirit in your life and the miracles of God's tremendous power have to do with you keeping religious laws? The Holy Spirit is poured out upon us through the revelation and the power of faith, not by keeping the law. The key to miracles is faith. Your faith causes miracles to happen. How does faith come? Romans 10, 17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When you hear God's word preached, faith comes to you. Faith comes by hearing God's word. As you're sitting here today, your faith is increasing. Your faith is growing because I'm preaching God's word to you. Miracles come by hearing the word of God. And miracles happen by the power of faith. That's why we have to preach about miracles. That's why Jesus went around preaching, teaching, and healing. In Matthew 4:23, it says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Three things Jesus did. He taught, teached, preached, healed. To teach means to explain. To preach means to proclaim. And that's what Jesus did. Proclaimed, explained, and healed. See, in Luke 6:18, it said that they came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. So a lot of people want to be healed, but they don't want to hear him. They had to hear him first, and then the faith came, and then the miracles happened. Faith causes miracles, signs, and wonders. There's 19 detailed accounts in the Gospels of people that received a miracle. Now, of course, we saw last week that Jesus healed thousands and thousands of people. In fact, the Apostle John said that if all of the miracles of Jesus were recorded, the world itself would not have enough room to contain all the books. So the Bible does not contain every miracle Jesus did. It's what the Holy Spirit inspired people, and that the Bible, God put the miracles that he wanted us to know, but there's a lot of other miracles that are not in there. Because you'd have to bring a U-Haul to church to carry your Bible if every miracle Jesus did was recorded. But there are 19 where we have the detailed account of what happened. And do you know that 12 out of those 19 times, Jesus said to them, it was because of your faith. This miracle happened because of your faith. I'm going to share a couple of those with you, okay? I'm going to share a few of them with you. Number one, the two blind men. In Matthew 9, verse 27, after Jesus left the girl's home, two blind men followed along behind him, and they were shouting, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And they went right into the house where he was staying, and Jesus asked them, "Do you believe I can make you see?" "Yes, Lord," they told him, "we do." Then he touched their eyes and he said, "Because of your faith, it will happen." The two blind men received a miracle and they were healed because of their faith. Now I want you to notice they instigated the miracle. Jesus never came and said, "Hey, you two blind men, come over here, I want to heal you." They came to him and they cried to him, "Lord, have mercy on us." And he said, "What do you want?" "We want to be here. We want to be healed. We want to see. Do you believe?" "We believe. According to faith, be it unto you." They instigated the miracle. The same thing happened with a blind Bartimaeus. One time Jesus was leaving Jericho. There was a big crowd following him. Blind Bartimaeus was sitting on the side of the road. He was begging, asking people for money. And when he heard that Jesus coming by, he started to cry out, "Jesus, have mercy on me, heal me. Have mercy on me, heal me. Jesus, have mercy on me, heal me." The Bible says many people yelled at him, told him, "Be quiet." But he kept yelling even louder, "Jesus, have mercy on me, heal me." When Jesus heard it, he called the man over. He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" The man said, "I want to receive my sight." What happened? His faith caused the miracle. The scripture tells us in Mark 10:52, Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus on the road. Same thing with the Roman centurion. A Roman centurion came to Jesus. He said, "Lord, my young servant is lying at home, paralyzed, in terrible pain." Jesus immediately says, "I'll come and heal him." The Roman centurion says, "No, Lord, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed." And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 8, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. He said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour. His faith caused the miracle. Same thing with the paralyzed man that was let down through the roof. The scripture says in Luke 5, verse 17, that it happened on a certain day, Jesus, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees, teachers of the law, sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, Jesus is teaching in a house, and the Bible says that the power of the Lord is present to heal them. To heal who? Those religious leaders and Pharisees that were sitting there watching Jesus. The power of the Lord was present to heal them, but none of them got healed. Then four men brought their friend who was paralyzed. They carried him on a stretcher. But when they couldn't get in the house, there were so many people, they couldn't get through the door. So they got up on top of the roof, and they broke a hole through the roof. And they lowered the bed with their friend on, who was paralyzed. They lowered their friend through the roof. What happened? The Bible says in Luke 17, verse 20, when he saw their faith, he said to them, man, your sins are forgiven you. The religious leaders got upset when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. So Jesus said in Luke 17, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Faith. The Bible says they were all amazed, and they glorified God. They were filled with fear. They said, we've seen strange things today. Lord, let us see some strange things today. The 10 lepers came to Jesus to be healed. And he told them, go show yourself to the priest. Now, they were only supposed to do that when they were healed. And the Bible says, Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible says that as they went, on the way they were healed. They weren't healed when they left Jesus, but as they went to the priest, they all got healed. And the Bible says in Luke 17, one of them, when he saw he was healed, he returned. And with a loud voice, he glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, and he gave him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even Jewish. He wasn't even supposed to get a miracle. He was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 that were cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not found any who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Faith causes miracles, signs, and wonders. Can you say amen? How about the woman with the issue of blood? The Bible says there was a woman who had a flow of blood. She suffered for 12 years. She had been to many doctors. She had spent all her money on treatments. And she was getting worse. Then one day she heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus' healing power. And what did she do? The Bible says in Mark 5:28. She kept saying to herself, if I could touch even his clothes, I know I will be healed. If I can just touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. If I can just touch his clothes, I know I will be. She kept on saying it. I know I will be healed. You see, number two, your words release your faith and bring miracles. Miracles can happen because of what you say with your mouth. And yet you can stop a miracle by saying, by speaking unbelief and doubt instead of speaking faith. See, Job 22, verse 28 tells us, you will also declare a thing and it will be established for you. You will declare it and it will be established. Well, this woman declared and it happened. See, your faith is released by your words. That's why you must speak your faith. You must declare what you believe in God for. Because God is faithful to fulfill his word. What happened to this woman? The Bible says in, give me that scripture, Mark chapter 5. It says verse 29, as soon as her hand touched him, her bleeding immediately stopped. She knew it. She could feel in her body. Her body was instantly healed of the disease. And Jesus knew at once that someone had touched him. For he felt the power that always surged around him had passed through him for someone to be healed. He turned around and he spoke to the crowd and he said, who touched my clothes? What do you mean? who touched you? The disciples answered. Look at this huge crowd. They're all pressing up against you. But Jesus' eyes swept across the crowd, looking for the one who had touched him for healing. You see, there's a difference between the touch of curiosity and the touch of faith. It says, when this woman who experienced this miracle realized what happened to her, she came before him trembling with fear. She threw herself down at his feet and she said, I was the one who touched you. And she told him the story of what had happened. Then Jesus said to her, daughter, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. Go with peace in your heart and be free from your suffering. Every one of those accounts that I just read to you, Jesus said it was your faith that caused that miracle to happen. See, so many people think it's all God. Well, whatever God wants to do, whatever God. And God can do a miracle of his divine. Don't misunderstand me. But most of the time, when people received miracles from Jesus, it was because of their faith. Her faith caused the healing. She spoke her faith. She initiated the miracle. Jesus never invited her. Well, come and touch me, you'll be healed. No, she decided that. She initiated that. There are so many other examples like this. Your faith causes miracles. The Bible says Jesus could not do any miracles in his own hometown of Nazareth because of their lack of faith. Mark chapter 6, verse 5. Because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles. It didn't say he wouldn't. It says he couldn't. How do you know you can't unless you try? He couldn't do any mighty miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. So what did he do? He went from village to village teaching the people. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, anything is possible if you have faith. Anything's possible if I have faith. Would that include every problem that you face, every situation that you face? There is nothing that you cannot have. There is nothing that you cannot do. Faith in God removes all impossibilities in my life. And you know what? Not believing God is what creates impossibilities in my life. There is no situation God cannot get you out of. All you got to do is believe. Miracles come by believing God and believing what his word says, believing every promise, believing what God says in his word. You got to know that God is a miracle working God. And nothing in my life is too hard for him. There's no situation God can't get me out of. There's no need that he can't meet. There's no sickness that he can't heal. Can you say amen, somebody? There's no problem he cannot solve. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. I think so often we draw so little from the one that has so much. He wants to do so much for us, but we've got to increase our believing. If you want to see God do bigger things in your life, you've got to believe God for bigger things in your life, because you're the one who instigates miracles in your life. Number three, you've got to pray and ask God for miracles. Ask God for miracles. We saw in those examples we read in the scripture, so many times it was the person who came and asked Jesus for the miracle. Lord, please have mercy on me, heal me. I want to see you again. They asked him. See, Jesus said in John 16, verse 23, most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, there's a good chance he might give it to you. If you're a good boy, if you're a good girl, no. He said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now, if Jesus didn't want me to ask him for miracles, he shouldn't have told me to ask him for whatever I want. In Mark 11, verse 24, Jesus said, therefore, I say to you, whatever things, say whatever, Whatever things, that means whatever. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. See, so many people, they think it's all up to God. Oh, if God wants to do a miracle, he'll do it. God wants to bless me, he'll do it. No, James 4 verse 2 says, you don't have what you want. Why? Because you don't ask God for it. The reason you don't have what you want, you haven't asked God. I determined the first thing I'm going to do is ask God. Because you know what we do? We try and do everything in our own strength. Well, I'm going to get this done, man. And we try everything in our own strength. Then when we can't do it, then we ask God. I'm going to ask God first. I'm going to first ask him. Let me tell you, number four, boldness causes miracles. You got to be bold to pray and ask God for a miracle. You got to be bold to ask God to do a miracle in your life, and you got to be bold to declare the good news and gospel to someone else and pray for them to get a miracle in their life. And let me tell you, miracles require boldness. In Acts 4 verse 29, the early church, they prayed. Look what they prayed. They said, Lord, hear their threats. Give us your servants great boldness. Give us great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power that miraculous signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after this prayer, the meeting place shook. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they preached the word of God with boldness. And what happened? Miracles happened. If you read it from the Passion Translation, I like to read scriptures from multiple translations. And if you read it from the Passion Translation, it says, empower us as your servants to speak the word of God fearlessly, freely, and courageously. Stretch out your hand of power through us. Lord, stretch out your hand of power through us to move in signs and wonders by the name of your holy son, Jesus. And as they prayed, the earth shook beneath them, causing the building they were in to tremble, and each one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they proclaimed the word of God with unrestrained boldness. Say, Lord, give me boldness. Everyone, say, Lord, give me boldness to preach your word. Give me boldness, Lord, to believe you for the impossible. Give me boldness. They prayed for boldness to preach the gospel. They prayed that God's power would move through them and heal and do signs and wonders and miracles. Man, if you want to see signs, wonders, and miracles, you got to be bold to preach the gospel. You got to be bold. You're talking to someone and they're telling you about all the problems they've got, maybe in their body, maybe they've got a lot of illness, maybe they've got a lot of sickness. And you say, well, you know, maybe the Lord could heal you. You never know. I'd like to invite you to come to my church and we'll pray. Maybe. That's not bold. Bold is, let me tell you, that our God, my Jesus, he's a healer. And God wants to heal you. I've seen healings happen. I want you to come in the church and say, we're going to pray for you. God's going to heal you. That's boldness. In Acts 4 verse 13, it says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures, and they recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. See, Jesus chose fishermen, tax collectors, regular people. He didn't choose any religious leaders. He chose regular people because it wasn't them. It was just their willingness to be bold and have faith and believe that they could do everything Jesus said they can do. Miracles come by the hearing of faith. But how can people hear unless we preach? We must be bold to preach God's word. If we want to see miracles, signs, and wonders, we must be bold to pray for people. And then number five, obedience to God causes miracles. Remember when Elisha told Naaman, who was a captain of the Syrian army, to go wash? Naaman was a leper, and he told him, go wash in the Jordan seven times, and you'll be healed. And Naaman complained at first, and then he said, okay, I'll do whatever he says. And he went and dipped seven times in the Jordan, and he was completely healed. go back for me. He was completely healed. Amen. God told Joshua, I want you to walk around the walls of Jericho every day, once for 6 days. On the seventh day, walk seven times, give a shout of praise, and the walls will come falling down. God told the widow in 1 Kings 17, I want you to make a cake first for Elijah, then for yourself and your son. There was a famine in the land. She was down to her last meal. She only had a little handful of flour, a little bit of oil. She was going to make her last meal for herself and her son. Elijah told her, make me a cake first. When she obeyed the instruction, her flour and oil miraculously multiplied until the famine was ended. See, obedience to God causes miracles. Jesus often gave people an instruction. And when they did what he said, they received the miracle. He put blood He put mud on a blind man's eyes and told him to go wash. And when he went to wash, he was healed. He told the 10 lepers, go show yourself to the priest. And on the way, as they obeyed the instruction, they were healed. He told Peter, let down your net for a catch. And when Peter did what he said, his net nearly broke with all the fish. He told the servers at the wedding in Canaan, fill those water pots with water. And when they did what he said, it was turned into wine. You see, Jesus' mother, she knew the secret. In John 2, verse 5, Jesus' mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you to do, do it. Can I tell you, whatever God tells you to do, do it. Whenever God tells you to do, do it. Whatever God tells you to do in the Bible, do it. Some people, they want to argue about tithing. They want to debate about tithing, whether it's Old Testament, whether it's New Testament. They want to argue and debate. If you would just do what God told you to do, you would see such supernatural blessing, you'd never doubt it again. That's why the Bible says, try it. Put me to the test. Do it and see what will happen. And then lastly, praise causes miracles. You see this when the walls of Jericho fell. They walked around the walls for 6 days, once a day. On the seventh day, they walked seven times. And after the seventh lap, they gave a shout of praise and the walls came down. Joshua 6:20, when the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed and the Israelites charged straight through in the town and captured it. We've been there. We went to Jericho. You've got to come with us sometime. We've got to go to Israel because the walls of Jericho fell down straight into the ground. And you can go and see the ruins today. It's like someone just pushed them right down. Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, in 2 Chronicles 20, they were surrounded by three armies. They were totally outnumbered. They needed a miracle. What did they do? 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. And when he had consulted with the people, Jehoshaphat, he appointed those who would sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army, they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, what happened? When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill them and destroy them. When they made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. They turned, the enemy turned on each other, and totally wiped out and killed one another. And the Bible says that the children of Judah, Israel, they didn't even have to lift a finger. Their enemies were destroyed. And it happened when they were praising God, when it looked impossible. And they gave God praise. God gave them a miracle. Man, when you don't see any way out, that's the time to praise God louder than you ever did before. We see it with Paul and Silas. They were in jail, man. The Bible says at midnight in the jail cell, they started singing praises to God, and the power of God hit that place, and all the doors flew open, and everyone's chains fell off. A woman came to Jesus one time, and she pleaded, she begged him to heal her daughter who was possessed by a demon that tormented her, but Jesus didn't even answer her. So what did she do? The Bible says in Matthew 15, then she came and she worshipped him And she said, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Now notice, she came begging Jesus and she got no response. And then she came worshiping him and she got a miracle. You see, begging doesn't get miracles, but praise does. Worship does. Worship is the highest form of faith. Worship causes miracles. Last week I told you some testimonies. You weren't here, Dolores. Did you watch it? We got to watch it, man, because Dolores had such a great miracle. She had a brain aneurysm. She started having blackouts in her vision. It started out just a few seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, and then it kept growing till eventually she had 30-minute blackout. And she went to the doctor. The doctor said she had an aneurysm on her brain, and they scheduled surgery for like the next day, right? She came to church that night. We prayed for her. We gathered around. We prayed for her. When she went in for the surgery, she woke up. They said, we couldn't find the aneurysm. It was gone. It was gone. When our daughter, Robin, our oldest daughter, Robin, who's now 39, will be 40 in May, and can't believe I have a 40-year-old daughter. Can you believe, Tom, that you have kids 40? So anyway, but when Robin was about 2 years old, we sent her to this preschool, daycare, and she came back, and Jill noticed as she was dressing her, there was a ringworm on her back. I don't know if you've ever seen a ringworm. It's something under the skin. And Jill looked at it, and she said, that looks alive. It's moving. When we went to church that day, Pastor Theo was preaching. He stopped in the middle of his sermon. He said, there's someone here. You've got something under your skin, and it looks alive. God's healing it right now. When we went to pick up from children's church, the thing was gone. She was healed. I'm so glad that I grew up in a church that believes in signs, wonders, and miracles. We had a man visit us from Canada. His name's Alan. He had had a number of neck surgeries. He had 3 discs removed from his neck. He was in constant pain. I prayed for him. He was instantly healed. He said, I haven't had any more pain. Louis, where's Louis at? Louis over there. Louis was legally blind. He couldn't drive. They took his driver's license away. He could barely see, just like very blurry. We prayed for him. The Lord healed him. He got his license back. His vision's improved. He's driving all over the place. Amen, Louis. Bruce back there, wave at me. Bruce, his neck was bone on bone. He had so much pain, he couldn't even turn his head like this. He couldn't turn his head. The Lord healed him. He's got no more pain. Turn your head. How's your neck doing? Turn your neck. Bruce, let's see. Is it working good? Praise the Lord. Our God is still a miracle-working God. Miracles are still available today. Miracles were commonplace in the book of Acts. And let me tell you, family, the main reason that God's miracle-working power is not seen as it should be in the church is because the church isn't preaching about it. The church has got away from the supernatural. The church has become religious. Religion has taken miracles from us. In fact, if you go to a theological seminary, you will come out of there believing that miracles don't happen anymore today. And Jesus said to the religious people in his day, in Mark 7, he said, you are nullifying and you are making void and of no effect the authority of the Word of God through your tradition which you've handed down. Do you know that you can make God's Word of no effect? You can rob the Word of God of power if you don't believe what God says, if you don't proclaim what God says, because God is faithful to fulfill every promise and He wants to manifest His miracle working power through His body. I'm talking about the real church, the church of the book of Acts that had miracles and signs and wonders. We got to tell everybody, family, He's still a miracle worker. He's still a healer. He's still a deliverer. He can break the power of cocaine. He can heal cancer. He can heal AIDS. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can you shout amen, somebody? Let me tell you, it's not hard to have a miracle. Just believe God. Stand on His word. Praise Him. Because God wants to demonstrate His miracle-working power in your life, whether it be in your body, in your finances, in your family. Let me tell you, the works that Jesus did, He will still do through you and me by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God on our lips. God is looking for somebody who He wants to pour out His supernatural power. He's looking for someone who will believe Him. I challenge you today to be one of those people that will believe God. You'll desire to see the supernatural power of God manifested in your life and through your life. Can you imagine what would happen to this city if every one of us would allow God to display His power through us, family? I believe we're in the last days. I believe we're going to see so many lives changed that churches won't be able to hold the people because miracles draw people to Jesus. And now is the time to reach out and minister to those people in need. God's looking for someone who will believe Him to do extraordinary things. Someone who will be bold. Someone who will be bold to believe Him. Rise up. Believe God for miracles. You will see your circumstance change. You will see your family and friends change. It will bring glory to God. It will draw people into the kingdom. Family, we need to start believing God to do the greater works. These are the last days. And God wants us to step out in faith, believe Him for bigger, extraordinary, unusual things. He wants to use you. Do not limit Him by small thinking. Take the limits off of God. Someone said, I don't need a miracle. Let me tell you, if you're going to live an overcoming, victorious, abundant life, if you're going to walk in divine blessing and health and live a long life, you got to know how to live in the realm of miracles, because the time will come when you will need a miracle. But you're a born-again child of a miracle-working God. You're not a normal person. And the things that hold a normal person back, they cannot hold you back. Amen. Because our God, He's a miracle worker. There's nothing too hard for Him. There's no situation He can't get you out of. Can you say amen, somebody? All right. I don't know about you, but I preached myself happy today.
Come on. I love that scripture that says that there was a power surge around Jesus. There's a power surge in this room. You know, we were watching a show on TV we're watching a series on TV, and we had to watch ads. And it really annoyed me, because all the ads are pharmaceutical ads. And they're like, this is for your asthma, and this is for your herpes, and this is for your allergies, and this is for your high blood pressure, and this is for your low blood pressure. And I think we've fallen into a lull. Even as believers, it happens to everybody. Everybody gets this. Everybody gets that. It's something that goes with age. I want to tell you that the healing power of God is for you. And like Pastor Steve said, it's not just for the blind. It's not just for the deaf. It's for every ailment that will come against your body. We were in Cape Town, and the Lord gave me a word of knowledge, and I said, there's somebody that's being healed of asthma. And we had a couple in our church, Chris and Gabby, and his 8-year-old son was at home. And he'd left his inhaler at his mother's house, and he could never go to sleep without his inhaler. Well, from that day, they came and told us, from that day, he never needed an inhaler again. He was completely healed. And so I want us to act on what we hear, because we don't want to be those who don't receive because we just don't step out and ask. So there's somebody in here today who has asthma. If you have asthma, and maybe we're okay with treating it with medicine, you don't need to do that. So if you have asthma, just stand to your feet. Somebody in here that has asthma. If there's somebody in here that you have high blood pressure and you're having trouble getting it to the right place, stand up on your feet. Don't come to me afterwards. Stand up on your feet.
Time to receive right now.
Yeah. People do it all the time. They go like, well, I was too shy to stand up in church. Will you pray for me afterwards? Respond when, Pastor Steve said, Naaman didn't want to dip in the River Jordan.
Yes.
He said it's a dirty river. So stay on your feet.
Is that for asthma or high blood pressure? High blood pressure. Who's got asthma in this room? There's someone in this room with asthma. Stand up. Stand up. It's for you. It's for you. Do you have asthma? Do you have asthma? You're going to be healed today.
Yeah.
Are you ready? You're going to be healed today.
Yeah.
Come up here real fast. Run up here real fast. Brother, come up here real fast. Carry on. Go on.
There's somebody that has a, you got a stomach condition, and it's beyond the normal digestion problem. It's not just a regular digestion problem, but you have a real medical problem that you're having to consider surgery for. And if that's you, just come out of your seat, and God wants to heal you. There's someone else that's having a diminishing eyesight in one of your eyes. You're feeling your eyesight's diminishing. Come out of your seat. Come stand here. Just stand and face us.
Now what's happening here, the Holy Spirit is showing Pastor Jill. He's revealing things. And when he calls it out, because he wants to heal you.
Yeah.
And if she calls it out and you don't respond, you can miss your miracle.
Yeah. Right.
If that's you, come. Come right now.
God wants to do something. Thank you, Father. I just want one more. Somebody's having a knee issue. You got pain in your knee, maybe a knee replacement. It might be you've got a real problem in your knee. Come on forward. And we're going to pray and we're going to believe God. And if there's something that you have that I haven't mentioned, but you need prayer this morning and your faith is stirred this morning, just come out of your seat.
Well, I'm going to say this. If you need a miracle.
If you need a miracle,
I want you to come right now. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for God to do miracles in your life. If you need a miracle, come get in this line right now. I need some gentlemen to help me. I need some gentlemen to stand behind them as we pray.
I want to pray. Jossie and Kathy asked us to pray for Mickey, who's in Jupiter Hospital, and his kidneys and his liver are failing. And Father, right now, we just release a miracle into Mickey's body in the name of Jesus. We just release healing, that you begin to heal his insides, that he would give glory to you when they see the things done that couldn't be done by the doctors. Father, we thank you that from this moment, right now, this Sunday morning, things begin to turn around for him in the name of Jesus.
Everyone at the front here, say this with me. Close your eyes, lift your hands, say this to the Lord. Say, Father, I thank you that you are a miracle-working God. I thank you, Lord, that there's nothing that you cannot to do. And I receive, today I receive my miracle from you. And I thank you, Father, for doing miracles for me in the name of Jesus. Say, I receive it right now. I receive it right now. I receive it right now. We're going to pray. I receive it. Church, stretch your hand toward these folks. Pray with us. Believe God with us. Yes. Yes. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for doing miracles right now. I thank you for healing, delivering, providing. In Jesus' name, receive that miracle that you believe in God for, Donna. Receive it today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, receive that miracle, Julie. Father, thank you right now for your miracle-working power. Thank you, Lord. We trust you. Thank you for doing miracles right now, for healing people, setting people free, providing for them. In the name of Jesus, receive in the name of Jesus. Just thank him and praise him. Thank him and praise him. Just thank him and praise him. Yes. Asthma, you go in the name of Jesus. I command you to be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want you to run around the building. Go run as fast as you can around that building. Fast as you can. Come on, run around that building. I want to see you run fast. What do you trust? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for doing miracles in Mike's life. I thank you, Father, right now. I release your miracle-working power to touch him and to touch his life in the name of Jesus. Is it for your knee? In the name of Jesus, I command this knee to be healed. I release your healing power, Lord. I command this knee to be healed. All pain to go. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We thank you and praise you, Father. Is it for your arm, your shoulder? Is that what it's hit? Is that where you came forward? Father, thank you for healing Abel in his knee and his shoulder. Lord, we need him back up there on guitar next week. So thank you right now for healing him. We thank you and praise you. I command his knee to be healed. I command his shoulder to be healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we give you all of the praise, the glory, the honor. What did you want the Lord to do? Father, I release your healing, miracle, working power to flow into JJ's body right now. I command his body to be healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. What does it say? What will you believe in God for? What were those two things you mentioned? Your lungs. Lord, thank you for healing his lungs right now. Thank you for healing him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Thank you for healing this. What's the name called? China Kenosha. Be healed in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Just thank him now. So, Lord, I thank you. I receive my healing. I receive my healing. What do you want the Lord to do for you?
To heal my scoliosis.
Scoliosis? How long have you had that? It's going today. You believe that? It's going today. Ian, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I release your healing power to flow into Ian's body. I command this scoliosis, go in the name of Jesus. You leave and you will not return. Father, thank you for your miracle healing power flowing through Ian's body, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name for touching him. Thank you, Father, right now for your anointing. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. What do you trust in the Lord for, Jerry? I command all pain to go from your muscles, from your bones. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Thank you, Father. All pain goes right now. Thank you, Father. All pain leaves and will not return. We thank you for healing Jerry, Lord. We give you praise. We give you honor. We thank you. You've already healed him of cancer. I thank you that this pain goes in Jesus' name. We agree in the name of Jesus. Did someone pray for you? Sir, did someone pray for you? What do you need the Lord to do? You have leukemia right now? Stretch your hand toward, what is your first name? Herbert. Herbert came with Bruce today. They went to school together from the first grade all the way through the 12th grade. And you came on the right day, Herbert, because Jesus is a healer. He's a miracle worker. I command this leukemia to go in the name of Jesus. I command you to leave. I command your body to be healed. Cancer, you go in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for healing Herbert. Thank you that your healing power is working in his body, flowing through his body right now in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody shouted amen. Amen. Everybody shouted amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father. We thank you and praise you for healing Herbert. Thank you for touching him, Father. How old are you, Herbert?
72.
You're going to live many more years, Herbert. You're going to live many more years. In Jesus' name, amen. Is there anyone we did not pray for? Dolores, did you take any pictures? Did you see me praying for Ian? Is there someone who didn't be? Samantha? What are we praying for? Is it there right now? You have pain in your arm? You have pain in your foot? How long you had that for? You've had it since Christmas time? You ready for it to go away right now? Right now? In the name of Jesus, I command this pain, go. Go in the name of Jesus. You will not return. Lord, thank you for healing Samantha's arm, for healing her leg. We thank you and praise you. Praise you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Tell me. How's your arm? How's your arm? How's your knee?
Oh, he
How's your foot? How's it? Do you still feel anything? Any pain? No more pain? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Come on, give the Lord thanks and praise somebody. Our God is a miracle worker. He's a healer. And let me tell you, listen, it's not hard. It's not hard. I can't heal you. I couldn't heal a flea of a headache. But Jesus is the healer, and all he's looking for is someone who'll be bold enough to pray. Can I tell you, God wants to do miracles through you. If you will be bold enough, when someone tells you that they're sick, would you mind, can I pray for you? Do you know that the Bible says that Jesus is a healer? And go ahead and pray for them. Very few people will say, no, I want to be sick. They'll say, go right ahead. You've got to be bold. Amen.
Let me just say this, that we really appreciate your testimonies. And don't be discouraged if you don't see something immediately. You hold on to that with your faith. Like Pastor Steve said, Jesus said the lepers wanted to be healed. And he said, go show yourself to the temple. And they could have turned around and said, I'm not healed. Why should I go and show myself?
That's right.
But it says, as they went on their way, they received their healing. So don't go like, nope, I didn't get it.
Believe that you have been.
Thank you, Father, for your miracle.
Believe that you have been. Thank him and praise him. Thank him and praise him. Believe you have been.
And then give us testimonies of what God has done. Those different things that are called, that all those different people came out. And that's only something the Lord would know.
Amen.
And so we believe him for incredible testimonies. Amen.
Amen. Stand up with me. Praise the Lord. Now listen, I'm sorry we went a little longer than normal. But let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. Churches today, like a big thing, is how short your service is. Don't go over 1 hour, 15 minutes. People don't want to stay. If you want to see miracles, you have to be willing to give God time. You can't come in here and say, Pastor Steve, I want to sing, I want to worship, I want to preach, I want miracles, I want all in under an hour. Go find somewhere else for a miracle. You can't dictate to God. And one of the main reasons I really believe that churches are not seeing the power of God is because they've got their service so structured that there's no place for the Lord. And we don't waste time here. There wasn't 1 minute wasted here today. I'm not up here waffling on and bumbling. I packed that sermon. You take that sermon, it's so packed full, and then praying for people. So sometimes you've got to allow a little time. Amen. So thank you for staying, because the Lord pleases him. When people walk out of church, when God's moving, it's very disrespectful to the Lord. Unless you absolutely have to go, I understand. I mean, some people have to. But if you don't have to go, just hang in there, Tiger. Father, we thank you that you are so good. We thank you, Lord, that you are a miracle-working God. That you love to do miracles for your people. It's who you are. And Father, I just thank you and praise you for all the miracles you've done in my life, all the miracles I've seen, all the miracles you've done in this church, and even today. Lord, thank you that you are so good. I want you just to close your eyes before we go home. The greatest miracle that will ever happen to you is the day you receive Jesus in your life. And the Bible says you will become a brand new person. You will be born again. Your past will be wiped out. Whatever sins you've committed, they are forgiven. You become a child of God. That's the greatest miracle. And if you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, if you're not sure if all is right between you and God, if you were to die today, if you cannot say with absolute certainty that you know that you know that heaven is where you're going to spend eternity, then I want to pray for you today. Because let me tell you, you can walk out of here this morning and you can know that all is right and all is well between you and God. You can know that every mistake, every sin you ever committed, it's washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray right now. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure that all is right between me and God. I want to know that when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, quickly, right now, just slip your hand up. Just lift your hand up. I'm not going to ask you to come out, but right where you stand, just lift your hand high. I'm looking for hands. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Three people who came forward for miracles today raised their hand to receive Jesus today. You see how miracles and being born again go together? If you raised your hand up, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Bless your heart, Brandon. The scripture says in Romans 10 verse 9, it says if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you become a child of God. That's how you go to heaven. That's how you know you're saved. By believing Jesus died on a cross for you, took your sin, rose from the dead, and confessing him to be Lord. So I want everyone, if you lifted your hand, say this prayer. But everyone in here, let's pray with them. Everybody together, say this. Say it out loud, boldly. Dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your son Jesus to come to this earth, to die on a cross for me, to take my sin, my punishment, to die in my place. Lord, I believe that you are alive. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you. From today, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. And I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. God, you are my father. I am your child. Heaven is my home. And my name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah. All the angels rejoice when one person comes to Jesus. If you raised your hand, we have a gift for you. I want to ask you, if you raised your hand, please stay for a few minutes. We want to give you something before you go. Man, let me tell you, God's doing something. God's up to something. God's up to something. We've stepped into a new season. We are a church. I'm believing God for miracles. I'm believing God for signs and wonders. I'm believing God for the supernatural. How about you? We're preaching with a demonstration of the Spirit of God and power. How about you? I don't know what's going to happen next week, but I'll tell you what, I can't wait. Have a great week. Will you bring someone next Sunday? Bring someone to church next Sunday. We love you, everybody. We'll see you next week. Praise the Lord. Give us some music, man. Some music.